That's a miracle, amen. And there's a couple ladies here last night that said they'd give $5,000 to this revival if I do the sun's coming up in the morning. And honey, for $5,000, I'll sing Sweet Home Alabama, amen. When I get up here, I get confused if I'm in Virginia or Tennessee. So I'm sorry I wore my VT colors, and I hope no Tennessee fan will kill me for it. But they both stink, so anyway, everything's good. But I know your pain. We do, too. But, man, it's good. I want to do this song, and got some rich people coming in. Y'all come right ahead. Make yourself at home. Pass that plate again, if you don't mind, back there. How many of you are glad the sun's coming up in the morning? Once again, I face Satan this morning, and I battle him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcement, and at sundown I sang victory song. Sing it with me now. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old clay's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. In a world filled with doubt and confusion, it's so hard when you don't understand. But I'll stand on a solid foundation, and I'll hold to his unchanging hand. Sing. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old clay's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. Sing it again. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old clay's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. Well, it's Thanksgiving, and let's do a couple of Thanksgiving songs. And this first one, you won't recognize it, because it's a brand new song just written by a dear buddy of mine. I'm getting ready to record it next week. I can't remember the verses. It's good, but I do remember the chorus, and it's a great little song. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You have been so good to me. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Throughout all eternity, and I hope that you don't mind as I sit here near your throne and praise you while the endless ages roll. That's better than what I thought. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You have been so good to me. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Throughout all eternity, and I hope that you don't mind as I sit here near your throne and praise you while the endless ages roll. And I'll praise you while the endless ages roll. Oh man, I like that. I've never sang that in public before. I like that. My friend Jerry Goff called me the other day. He said, Joe, I've written this brand new song. Let me see if I can remember the last one. I'll do that when I'm thinking. It'd be so good to see the loved ones who've gone before. And we'll talk about His grace has brought us through. But the one I long to see is the one who died for me. And I'll thank Him for His death at Calvary. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. You have been so good to me. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Throughout all eternity. And I hope that You don't mind if I sit here near Your throne and praise You while the endless ages roll. And I'll praise You while the endless ages roll. I bet you remember this from 1976. Dear friend of mine who's now getting ready to turn about 82 or 3. Just a young fellow, Brother Gene. And he was facing 40 years in prison for being a safecracker. And he's laying on his bunk thinking about the next 40 years of his life. And he said, all of a sudden, the jailer came in there and said, son, he'd been in about 2 years. He said, the warden wants to see you. And so he walked into that warden's office and he said, buddy, I don't know what's happened. There must be a God in heaven. He said, governor just signed your pardon. He said, sir, there is a God in heaven. And my little mama in Mount Airy, North Carolina, evidently got a hold of him and got him out of prison. God saved him, called him to preach. And one day he was just thinking about the goodness of the Lord. And about 1975, 76, he wrote this song. Man, I love him. He's a dear buddy of mine. And I think it's appropriate for this time of the year. While the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing how I wish they could see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. If you know that chorus, sing it with me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me Your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not all that new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have You. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Sing that chorus now. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me Your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Sing this little chorus. I know you know it. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. Say that chorus with me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I like this one now. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He's so good to me. Let's really sing that chorus. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Thank you so much, preacher. Appreciate it. God is good.
I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. Turn in your Bible tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. It has been a blessing to be back in the Tri-Cities area again. It's always good to be at the oldest Baptist church in the state of Tennessee. I think that's awesome. Maybe the oldest church in Tennessee. And we're glad you... How many shared that first Sunday in 1779? How many felt like you shared that first Sunday? How many of you feel like you're set beside somebody that looks like that? No, don't do that. Don't do that. But I appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. I love Pastor Gene sitting over here. I love you. And I love Brother Jody. It just thrills my heart to see the church continuing in the same doctrine, same practice, same burden, same vision. And I'm going to tell you something my daddy told me right down the road here. Well, up the road here, Marion, Virginia. And listen, just because Marion was the home of the mental institution for Virginia, that don't mean everybody up there is dumb. Just me and my sisters. But my daddy told me this. I won't ever forget it. He said, son, he said, you remember this now. If a man changes from what he always was, it means one or two things. It means he was always wrong. And he finally got it right. Or it means he was always right and he went wrong. He said either way he owes his followers an apology. But I'm glad God doesn't have to issue any apologies, because he's always right and he's never been wrong. And he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us. Can I go ahead and tell him he's invited me to come back? He's invited me to come back in the winter and the spring and the fall and the summer. I'm thinking about moving my membership. I'll be one of the best members you got. I'll tithe and don't never come. And I guarantee you got some that don't never come nor ever tithe, amen? But I'm glad to be here tonight. You love the Lord? Say amen. How many tonight got something to be thankful for? How many are thankful for your salvation? You're thankful for the Word of God. How many of you got your wife with you tonight? That's your wife sitting next to you. Or you want it to be your wife sitting next to you. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Raise your hand if you got your wife sitting close to you.
look over there and say, honey, I thank God for you. How many got your husband here tonight? Or you want to be your husband here tonight? Look over there at him and say, honey, I thank God for you. How many of you thank God for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? You thank God for your preacher. Three people thank God for you, Brother Jody. How many of you thank God for your wife's mother? I appreciate that. One man lifted his hand. And the only reason why he did, because she was staring at him, amen. But we got a lot to be thankful for. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. Notice what the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 4. In verse number 4, say it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You said, I thought you was going to preach on being thankful. Well, I'll tell you this, if you're thankful, you'll be a rejoicing Christian. Now, what amazes me about this word, rejoice, the man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Brother Paul, is telling us to do this. And when you realize where Paul is when he writes this, it's almost hard to fathom. He is not on a Caribbean cruise. He is not on a Hawaiian vacation. He is not stuck in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia watching the leaves. He is in a Roman prison. And brother, prisons in that day didn't have air conditioning or TV or three square meals or any ping pong tables or basketball courts. Brother, when you went to prison in that day, you were literally thrown in a muddy, diseased, rat-infested hole in the ground. Now, before he is put in this position, by his own testimony, he was beaten with many stripes. But yet he writes this church from this Roman prison cell to the church at Philippi and says, rejoice in the Lord. And notice the word that he used in the text, always. Always. I looked that little word all the way up and it literally means always. It literally means in and under all circumstances. In and throughout all times. That word always is mentioned several interesting places in the New Testament. Remember, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. In and under every circumstances, in and throughout all time. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus told his disciples that men ought to always pray and not faint. In every circumstance, in and out under situations, in and throughout all time, it's always time to pray. Jesus could make this statement boldly to his disciples, I do always those things that please my Father. In and every under circumstance and in and throughout all time, he always pleased his Father. Paul told the Corinthian church that that God's grace would abound always for all things. Well, I'm glad in and under every circumstance, in and throughout all time, God's grace is always sufficient. And he uses this word, in and under every circumstance, in and throughout all time, rejoice in the Lord. And you could say, well, Paul, you just don't know where I'm at and what I'm going through. He could say, well, look where I'm at. And to add more authority to what he is saying, notice who he is saying this to. He is saying it to the church at Philippi. Now, do you remember where the church at Philippi was started? It was started in the little city of Philippi after this big earthquake hit the county jail. You remember there were two preachers in that jail, Paul and Silas. And they was locked up downtown Philippi. And the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and they prayed to God Almighty. And brother, the Bible said when them two boys began to pray and sing, that an earthquake came, and God shook the jail. I know Elvis sung Jailhouse Rock, but God's the only person ever rocked one. And the Bible said the doors of that prison was open. And every man's bands were loosed. And here is the miracle. Not a one escaped. And boy, that jailer came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And if you don't think he didn't have an attitude adjustment, he called a bunch of criminals, sir. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul gave him the great gospel message, and I still believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That man took them two preachers to his house and washed their stripes. And from the living room of that Philippian jailer was birthed the church at Philippi. And Paul is not only telling them, do what I'm doing while I'm in a Roman prison, but do what I did when I was in your own city in adverse circumstances. I prayed and sang praises unto God, and I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoice in the Lord. Boy, I'm glad tonight the saints of God have something to rejoice in. Now, I love this little word, rejoice. The root word is the word joy, joy. Now, there is a difference between joy and happiness. You see, happiness produces our happiness. If it happens, we got joy. If it don't happen, we don't have any joy. But joy is more than just happiness. Theologically, they say joy is an inward burst of radiant glory. And you know what that inward burst of radiant glory is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I'm glad the Bible said we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what gives us joy? Christ lives in us. Our sins are forgiven. Our name is written in heaven. And praise God, we're going to miss hell and go to glory when we leave this world. Joy. Joy is an inward burst of radiant glory. But you English students know, when you put R-E in front of a word, it means to reverse the process. The last book in our Bible is called the book of Revelation. The root word there is the word veil. It means to veil. It means to hide. It means to cover. But when you R-E it on the front of it, that means you uncover it, you unveil it, you reveal it. But notice this word rejoice. The root word is joy, an inward burst of radiant glory. So if joy is an inward burst of radiant glory, to R-E it, to reverse it, means to outwardly express what we have on the inside. If joy is an inward burst of radiant glory, then to rejoice is an outward explosion. And I believe sometimes God's people just ought to have an outward explosion and say, well, glory, and rejoice in the Lord. Oh, you say, preacher, hallelujah, I got it real deep down in my heart. Well, let it seep a little bit out your mouth and say, amen, and praise the Lord, and rejoice in the Lord. Outwardly express what you know you have on the inside. And you know what I believe our nation needs to see? Some rejoicing Christians. Some rejoicing Christians. Some people who are saved And they're not mad about it. One guy asked me the other day, he said, "Bless God, are you an independent Baptist?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm happy about it." Man, I'm glad we've got some joy, and we need to reverse that joy and reveal that joy and release that joy. I mean, the saved tonight have something to rejoice in. And notice what he said in the text, "Rejoice in the Lord." And as I began to read this passage, I found some things we have in the Lord that gives us a reason to rejoice and be thankful to the Lord. Notice what the Bible says down in verse number 6 in our text. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." And notice what he said, "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." You know why we rejoice in the Lord tonight? Because we have a prayer that we can call upon the Lord. I'm glad we have a prayer that we can petition God with. I'm glad we have a prayer and God wants to hear our request. And aren't you glad in these days of apathy and apostasy, we just keep on rejoicing because we know that God answers prayer. I don't believe the Lord would invite you and I tonight into His throne of grace to pray if He wasn't a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I love the word that he uses in the text. He said, "And prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, a lot of you grew up in a strict family like I did. And I mean, when we went to the table, we had to have all our clothes on, our shoes on, our shirts on. We couldn't laugh, play, jump around, sing. I mean, we had to come to the table. I mean, that was serious business at our house. And I remember one night sitting there at the supper table, and I said to my mom, I said, "Mom, pass the taters, please." And I know it's potatoes, but it's really taters. You say, "What's the difference?" Lumps in them, bless God, that's what the difference is. And my mama said, "Oh, no, son, we don't say that." You say, "Thank you for the potatoes." And I'd done something I knew I shouldn't have done. I dialogued just a minute. I said, "Now, Mama, I'll thank you when I get them. You give them to me, and then I'll say thank you." She said, "Oh, no, if you don't thank me in advance, you're not going to get them at all." Son, we don't say pass the taters, pass the bread. We say thank you for the potatoes, thank you for the bread. She said, "You thank me in advance, and you'll get them a lot quicker and a lot nicer." Boy, I'm sitting there trying to scratch my head. My mama said, "Son, I'm trying to teach you what the Bible said. With prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And boy, I know there's times I prayed and I said, "Lord, if you'll do this, I'll thank you. Lord, if you'll save this one, I'll thank you. Lord, if you'll meet this need, I'll thank you." But man, you and I need to thank God whether He does it or not, because if He never does another thing other than save our soul and keep us from going to hell, that's enough to be thankful for. Thankful for answered prayer. I was talking to you, Pastor, tonight about Mays Jackson. What a preacher. I believe Brother Gene told me he preached here 16 years in a row. Praise God, beloved. Somebody say amen right there. Man, I love that preacher. Brother Mays was raised in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and went off to college to Raleigh, North Carolina, North Carolina State. He used to say, "I was a member of the wolf pack and God saved me. Woo! And I got in the Lamb's Club." His first semester. Man, his first semester, he was in a class. And a professor got up and said, "Well, I know some of you boys are from the mountains and you come from a very religious family. But I've come to tell you young men today, there is no God and the Bible's not true and prayer is a waste of time." And Brother May said, I was lost and I knew better than that. He said, I was a heathen and knew better than that. He said, I raised my hand and that professor looked over his glasses and said, Mr. Jackson, now you have a question. He said, yes, sir, I've got a question. My question is this, sir. If there is no God and the Bible is not true and prayer is a waste of time, who put biscuits on our table when mama went behind the shed and called upon the Lord? He said, sir, I come from a poor family. If it wasn't for some people having mercy on me, I'd never afford to go to this college. And sir, you don't understand, my daddy was a sharecropper. And man, he said, there came many a nights when it came time for supper and there would be nothing in the cupboards to eat. There'd be nothing in our makeshift icebox, nothing in the cabinets. And my mama would cry and she'd say, young'uns, I'll be back in a minute. And my mama would go behind the shed and stay for about an hour. And about an hour she'd come back, taking her apron, wiping tears out of her eyes, saying, I just heard from heaven and it's all right now. And he said, sir, it wouldn't be long till a car would pull up and the trunk would open up and there'd be boxes of groceries for my family. He said, sir, if there is no God and the Bible is not true and prayer is really a waste of time, who was it that fed our family? And when mama called upon the Lord, I'm glad to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven and the Bible is true and prayer is not a waste of time. And I'm glad that God still answers us prayer. He still meets our need, and I just want to say thank you, Lord. That is a reason to rejoice. We have a prayer. We have a prayer that sustains us. He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You want God to do something in your life? Thank Him in advance. Just thank Him in advance. Because this dawned on me the other day. We don't thank God and worship God and give God the glory all the time for what He does. We worship God and give Him the glory because of who He is. And can I remind you tonight, He is good. He is holy. He is awesome. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He is great. He is God. And He always will be God. We rejoice because of a prayer that settles and sustains. Number two, look down in the next verse, and man, I love this. Look what he says in verse number 7. As we begin to pray unto God, notice what he said in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know why we rejoice tonight? Because we have a prayer. You know why we rejoice tonight? Because we have a peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. As I said in my introduction, notice where Paul is when he writes this. He is not on a Caribbean vacation. He is not on a cruise. He is not in a little mountain cabin sitting beside a peaceful stream. His back is raw with the bleedings. He is chained to the walls of a muddy prison. It's rotten. It stinks. It's roach and rat infested. But yet in the darkest hour of his life, he said, I want to tell you, I've got peace. I've got peace. And may I say this tonight, peace is not the absence of trouble. It is not the absence of sickness. It is not the absence of difficulty. But peace is faith and hope and courage in the midst of adverse circumstances. And we have the peace of God. I'm glad we have the peace with God. And I'm glad there's peace in God. And it passes all understanding. Boy, I can't explain it. How I've watched God's little children walk through some dark places and come out on the other side, not less of a Christian, but a better Christian. Not with less love of Jesus, but more love of Jesus. of Jesus. My daughter is an attorney in the county below where we live. In fact, she's an attorney for several counties down there. And they was in court the other day. Man, they had a real stressful week. A couple of robberies, a couple of murders, and one husband beating. I ain't lying. Whew. And so at the end of that stressful week, two of the lawyers said to her, "Would you like to go across the street and get a drink?" And they wasn't talking about RC Cola. And she said, "No, sir, I don't do that." They said, "Oh, man, you don't drink alcohol?" "No, I don't do that." They said, "Oh, girl, how do you deal with all the stress of our job? How do you deal with that?" And she said, "Well, I go to church. I read my Bible." Ooh. They didn't understand that. So she asked them a question. She said, "Now, let me ask you a question. You won't know why I don't do that. Let me ask you a question. Why do you do that?" And that man looked at her with a tear in his eye and said, "Honey, because that's all I know to do. That's all my daddy done. That's all my mama done. That's all my family done. That's all my friends have done. That's all I know to do." Boy, she called me up. I was getting ready to preach that night in another state. She called me up. And man, usually when Joanna calls, it's going to cost me. You wait. I saw them three little girls. "Buddy, you better pastor a church and get a job and preach revivals. You're going to need it. Because I want to tell you, they'll call you. And as soon as the name comes up, it's dollar sign. And if you're a preacher, here's what they'll do. "Oh, Daddy, I just love it when you preach the Word of God. Oh, Daddy, you're my favorite." Oh, shut up. Boy, she called me the other day, and I just knew it was going to cost me money, and she was a-crying. I went, "Oh, no, she's wrecked the car again." But she was a-crying. She said, "Daddy, I want to thank you. I've already talked to Mama. And, Daddy, I just want to thank you that you taught us about God. You taught us about the Holy Ghost. And you taught us about the Bible. And, Dad, when the trouble comes and the storm comes, we don't have to run to the drugs and the alcohol and the things of the world. Dad, you told us that there's a God, whoo, that gives us peace. And it passes understanding." And notice the strong King James words in the text. He said it keeps. That means it sets a perimeter. It umpires. It guards. It stands as a sentry over our hearts and on our minds. I want to tell you what to keep us sane in an insane world. We've got the peace of God and peace with God. That's why we rejoice in the Lord. Thank God for that peace that passeth all understanding. We have a prayer. We have a peace. Number three, I love this. Come down to verse number 13. Notice what Paul says now. "I can do all things," say it with me, "through Christ which strengtheneth me." We have a prayer. We have peace. But number three, we rejoice because we have a power. We have a power, we have a strength, we have an energy, we have a quantum source of divine unction that the world doesn't have, and we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Remember now Paul, where he is. Notice where he is when he's writing these verses. He's in the prison. He's fastened to the muddy walls of a dungeon. Rats and roaches crawling all over the floor. It's cold, it's wet, it's damp, it's nasty. It's a terrible place. But Paul says, I can endure this. I can make it through this. Paul, God has called you to be a preacher and an apostle to the Gentile. How are you going to do it? I can do this. Paul, God is going to use you to travel and sow the seeds of early Christianity. And 2,000 years later in Tennessee, they'll be having church because of the seeds you've sown in your ministry. Paul, it's a task. It's a job. How are you going to do it? He says, I can do. I can do. I can do. But he realized it wasn't his personality, and it wasn't his ability, and it wasn't his intellect. It was Christ and the strength and the power that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm glad God can give us power to do whatever He has called us to do. Oftentimes I have young preachers come to me, and they'll tell me, preacher, God's dealing with me about, you know, by faith, going to Bible college and maybe starting a church or going into missions or being a missionary, being an evangelist, preacher, how am I going to accomplish all these things? And my answer is this: God will give you power to do whatever He has called you to do. How many believe tonight that God is so great that He wouldn't give us something to do and not give us the power to do it? I'm glad there's a strength in us tonight. There is a quantum energy in us tonight. There is an ability in us tonight that you can't educate, you can't buy it, you can't earn. It's infused with the power of the indwelling Christ that lives in our heart through the Holy Spirit. I'm glad we got a power. We got strength. We can sail the storm. We can take the test. We can make a stand for God. We can make a difference in our world. We can do what God has called us to do. There's power in the Lord, and there's strength in the Lord, and that's why we rejoice. We have a prayer. We have a peace. We have a power. Number four, come down to verse number 19, and I love this. Paul is getting ready to close out this letter, and he says, but my God shall supply not some, not a few, but my God shall supply how much? All your need. We have a prayer, we have peace, we have power, but thank God we have a provision. Through God's divine provisions, we rejoice in the Lord. And I love the way he worded it in the text. But my God shall supply all your need according to. Now notice he didn't say out of his riches and glory, but according to his riches and glory. How many still writes checks? The reason why I say that is my son, who's 30, you ready to be 31, my daughter who's 28, going to be 29, they don't write checks. They either pay in cash or a debit card. They don't even know how to write checks. I fought against that online giving. I said, bless God, if they're too lazy to go to the bank and get an account, write a check. But boy, when I found out what we took in, I said, praise God, let's do two online banks. Amen. But people don't write checks that much anymore. I remember growing up seeing something I wanted, and Mom would say, honey, I ain't got no money. Write a check. But when you write a check, whatever the amount of that check, it subtracts from what's in the account. And when that check is cleared, that account is missing the value of that check. When you write a check out of an account, it diminishes what is in the account. And when you write a check out of that account, you can only get what the check is made out for out of the diminished account. But if you do it like this and say, I'm not giving you this money out of what I got and I will have less, I'm going to give you a blank statement that says, not out of, but according to, you can have all I've got. And when I get through giving you all I got, I won't have less. I'll still have more. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like a checking account like that. I don't have one like that on this side. Boy, I'm glad stored up in God's bank. Hallelujah, the recesses of heaven is His riches and glory. You say, how much is that? Well, if I started counting, I'd stand here for eternity and I would run out of numbers. It is more than we'll ever need. His riches and glory. And we don't get just a little bit of it. And we get just a little bit of it. He has less. No, if God's got it, I've got it. And when I get it, He doesn't have less. He still has more. I'm telling you, I'm glad God is able to provide what we need. His provisions are a reason to rejoice. Oh, I read a while ago where they got ready to close the stock market today and all of the gains of 2018, all of those big months, all of them big gains that brought a smile on my face, they said when they closed the day, it fell so sharp that it totally wiped out all of the gains of 2018. Said it closed out today the lowest it's been since 2016. And I didn't like to hear that. And I know you don't like to hear that. Now the liberals, they love to hear that because they'll blame it on Trump and Bush. They'll blame it on Osama bin Laden. He'd been dead 12 years. I'm just telling you. Boy, I tell you, that's bad news for us. That's bad news for us on the financial world. But I may tell you what I've drawn, glory to God, what I'm drawing out of tonight is not connected to the Dow, Wall Street, Bull Street, or on out on Alabama Street. Brother, I don't have to sit there and watch Bloomberg bring that big old frown on my face. I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and the taters in the hills and the bugs inside of the taters. Oh, David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I'm not seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. Boy, this lady called Brother Mays one time and she said, I've been listening on the radio. She said, I think you're crazy. He said, my wife does too. Get in line. She said, bless God, I'm going to tell you something, Reverend Jackson. She said, there's going to come a famine so bad before you die in the state of Georgia, there won't be but one soda cracker. He said, honey, let me tell you something. If we have a famine that bad in the state of Georgia and there's only one soda cracker, I promise you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, I'll be on one end nibbling on it. I'm telling you, God's going to provide our needs tonight. God is going to supply our needs, an endless supply, not out of a little bit of what He's got, but I'm telling you, according to His riches and glory, I'm glad tonight God knows how to feed people. He knows how to clothe people. He knows how to pay the bills. He knows how to come through. I'm telling you tonight, if you're worried about something, don't worry about God. He's got it under control. He's got provisions, and it's ours in Jesus Christ. And that's why we rejoice, because of a prayer, because of a peace, because of a power, because of a provision. But I skipped over verse number 5 on purpose. I'm going to go back and close with that one. You're talking about a reason to rejoice. Notice what it said. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Say it out loud with me. The Lord is at hand. That little phrase, at hand, simply means well within reach. I believe there's two applications can be applied to this. Number one, the abounding presence of God. He is at hand. Can I say this tonight? You'll never go nowhere where God ain't already been. And you can't go anywhere where God's not already at. I heard a song the other day, one of the trios in our church sang, and I like to turn to flip. It blessed me to death. It said, "Fear not tomorrow, God is already there." Lord have mercy. I'm glad above us, beneath us, before us, behind us, beside us, in us, on us, with us, through us, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. The Lord is at hand. But that was a regal meaning to this passage. When the king or the emperor was coming to the city, the man on the lookout post would see the entourage of the emperor, the entourage of the king. He would make an announcement, open the doors, have a celebration, throw the gates open wide. The king is in view. The king is at hand. The king is about to enter the city. And may I say to the saints at Gray Station, Gray, wherever I'm at, cheer up, my brother. Because the door is about to be open. Because he's just in sight. The king is about to arrive. Psalm 22 has already happened. Our suffering Savior has gone to the cross. We're in the middle right now of Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. But we're about to step in Psalm 24 world where the psalmist says, "Lift up ye gates, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." I'll remind you of this Thanksgiving season. He's within sight. He's at hand. Just any day now, the Lord will come and the King will come. And brother, that is a reason to rejoice that God has not forsaken us. God has not forgot us. God has not abandoned us. And this is what I love about Jesus. He's here, and yet he's a-coming. He's here through the person of the Holy Ghost, and one day his literal presence will come, and that gives us reason to rejoice. That was an old preacher that lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, pastored Woodland Baptist for 40-plus years, Brother Zeno Gross. Did you know Brother Zeno? Brother Zeno said for a long time the biggest, tallest building in Winston was the Wachovia Bank building until R.J. Reynolds built one a little bit bigger. He said, but for years that Wachovia Bank was the tallest building. And said that was a man that lived out in the country and brought his little boy to town and walked up to the outside of that building. And I said a little bench where the bus would come by. And he told that little boy, he said, "Now, son, you sit on that bench. I'm going up there in that building to take care of some business. And don't you move. Don't you leave. You sit here. And when I get back, we'll go home." Well, while his dad was way high up there in that building, a storm came. The lightning flashed and the thunder rolled and the wind blew and the rain descended. And that little boy was just sitting there drenched in the rain. A nice dressed businessman came by with a raincoat and a top hat and his umbrella. And he said, "Hey, boy, ain't you got enough sense to get out of the rain?" He said, "Son, you better get in that building." He said, "No, sir." He said, "My daddy told me to sit here." He said, "Sir, my daddy told me to sit here. Why, he went up there and done some business. And my daddy's up there doing business. And he told me not to move. He told me to wait on him and not go anywhere. And he'd be back. And when he got back, we'd go home." He said, "Well, son, you crazy." He said, "The lightning's flashing, the thunder's rolling, the rain's coming." He said, "Sir, my daddy didn't say it wouldn't rain. He didn't say nothing about no lightning and no thunder." He didn't say nothing about no storm. He just said, wait on me, boy. I'm going up. But when I come back, we're going home. And I'm waiting on Daddy. Woo! To go home. Son, our great general, our great king, our great high priest put us in the church. And he says, occupy till I come. Faithful till I come. Run the race, stand the test, live for God, spread the gospel, be faithful till I come. And can I remind you, he didn't say anything about troubles and trials and storms and adversities and disappointments and heartaches. He just said, I'm going up yonder, and when I come back, we're going home. So I want to say, don't run off tonight. Don't forsake him tonight. Don't be discouraged tonight. Don't give up on him tonight. Don't cast away your confidence tonight. He's gone up there for a little while, but he's coming back down here, and when he does, we're going home. We have a promise. And that promise is the Lord is here. But yet, he's coming. Rejoice in the Lord. Man, Wednesday, we'll cook. Not my wife. We're going to go buy some stuff. Go buy some stuff. I told her, I said, honey, they ain't going to want to eat no hamburger helper for Thanksgiving. So we're going to go buy some stuff. I'm going to move on, lady. I promise. There's a lady back there that says she's going to buy some stuff too. But boy, Thursday we'll sit at our tables. And let me be sentimental just a minute. I've waited a long time for this. Boy, me and my sweet bride, we've been married 34 years, and God's given us two precious kids. Man, since I've been up here last time, the Lord has blessed me with three granddaughters. And my daughter's expecting another grandchild and just found out it's going to be a girl. I just got a feeling the drama. Because so far, all three are blonde. I think I need to move on, sister. But the drama is about to begin. But I can hardly wait until Thursday. We're going to sit at this table. My beautiful wife on this side. My son and his wife. My daughter and that thing she's married to. And I'm telling you, the only thing good out of a son-in-law is a pretty grandchild. See, amen right there now. And them little three granddaughters. And you know what I'm looking forward to doing? I'm looking forward to us holding hands and saying the blessing together. I'm looking forward to leading them in a verse of a song of praise unto the Lord. I got the two oldest ones already. Praise the Lord now, honey. Boy, they lift them hands and praise the Lord. That third one, I believe she's going to be a Methodist. She just sits there and stares at me. But, oh, I'm looking forward to that. How many of you like that? At your house with your family. But I want to tell you something. I'm looking forward also to that wonderful day. We're going to gather around a table in glory. There won't be no hamburger helper on it either. But we're going to gather around that table in glory. Can you imagine? We'll sit there with saints that's gone on before. Well, I'd love to see my daddy passed away this time of year. In fact, Dad passed away the Friday after Thanksgiving in 2008. I miss my daddy all the time, but right at this time, I miss him more. But praise God, can you imagine that day sitting around the table with your family and your friends who've gone on before, and about that time Jesus walks in. And boy, God's church begins to sing not about the Lord, but to the Lord. And I'm looking for that day when we're going to have a Thanksgiving like this world has never known. But I want to encourage you tonight, don't wait to then to be thankful. Let's live a life of thanksgiving tonight. We take too much for granted. Would you agree with me on that? And God has been good. Paul said, I was in prison, I was beaten with stripes, I was beaten with rods, I was in the dungeon. He said, but I found some strength to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice tonight. Be thankful tonight. He's a good God and He's worthy of our praise. Let's stand together. Lord, we do love You tonight. We're so thankful for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, Your long-suffering. And Lord, I don't want to be like those lepers. You healed 10 of them, but only one came back. I don't be like those 9. I want to be like that one who comes back to give You the glory. And I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness tonight. Thank You, Lord, for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for my family. And Lord, may we serve You in this coming year like we never have before. And Lord, the faults and our failures of this year, God, we can't do nothing about it, so we put it under the blood. And we ask You, Lord, to help us. Lord, I want to pray for the saints here at Buffalo Ridge. Bless them, Lord, and help them. May this coming year be the greatest year of souls being saved. Lives being changed. I pray, dear Lord, for Brother Jody as he gets on that plane tomorrow and flies to Brazil. Cover that plane with the Holy Ghost and the blood of Christ. And give our brother strength and anointing to be a blessing that souls may be added to the kingdom of God. Bless his precious family, Lord. Protect them and meet their need while he's away. And Lord, I pray that great things will be done for Your glory and Your honor. We love You tonight and we give You the glory because we ask it in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed tonight, while she plays something, we'll sing a number, brother, in just a moment. I like to do this. Maybe you got your family here tonight, your husband, your wife, some of your children. Why don't you just get your family. And just come on down here to this altar, and if you can't kneel, just stand. And as a family, have a little time of thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for my temporal blessings. And thank You, Lord, for my spiritual blessings. Man, let's just thank the Lord tonight for the goodness of God in the land of the living. While we sing, my dear brother, let's just be thankful to the Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to
are praying, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness.
He answers prayer.
I'm glad He answers prayer.
He answers prayer.
He meets needs.
He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's coming soon.
I'm glad for that.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
Let's sing that God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. So good to me.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, sing one more verse. Never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody the opportunity to trust the Lord as their Savior. It could be that you're here tonight, but you've never asked the Lord into your heart. If that's the case, then you come. Maybe the Lord's still dealing with you. This is the final verse, unless somebody responds. As Brother Gary sings, you obey the Lord.
He died for you. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me.
Amen. The Lord used you in a great way. Praise the Lord for it. We give the Lord the praise. We do covet your prayers as we fly to Brazil tomorrow. Right now, Brazil is 3 hours ahead of us. So just as the Lord would lay it on your heart, Friday night, Saturday night, and then all day Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I believe that's what it is. He told me I'm going to be speaking five times, so that's what I'm figuring it is. If the Lord so leads you in this, then you breathe a prayer at that moment, because that could very well be the Holy Ghost of God preparing somebody's heart. So you do that. And I hope. Listen, I hope you're glad you came. God's been good to us. You helped me tonight. The Lord helped me tonight. God bless you. Preacher, lastly, appreciate you, sir. God bless you and your faithfulness. If you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.